I'd like to welcome now Jerry Jones. He is interim president and CEO of the Santa Fe Community Foundation, and Anne-Marie McLaughlin, who is hub programming manager there. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
So, Jerry Jones, you are just in your first few days on the job. The wonderful Brian Burns just left to go on to do other things. And we wanted to ask you sort of where is the Community Foundation at right now, and what even is a Community Foundation?
Great. Well, thank you again. So, yes, the wonderful Brian Burns, we had our goodbye with him on Monday evening, and what a tremendous leader he's been for us for the last 4 years, and what a unique experience it's been to really work in that environment. And really see what a community foundation can be. As a board member for the last 11 years with the community foundation, I've really seen it evolve from this really enormous gift, I think, that we have in the Santa Fe community with the foundation under Billy's leadership and others before her and all of our board members. But what has happened in my experience is that each leader that comes, each new board member that comes on, it's kind of like what you expect a family to do. The grandparents, you want your parents to stand on the grandparents and the children to stand on the parents and their children to stand on you. That's kind of how we've evolved. We believe that every step we take is a greater step towards the future of what philanthropy means, what a community foundation is, and how we can engage our community in just ever-changing ways because our community changes.
What is the community foundation model? How did it come into being?
So the community foundation model started really, it was 100 years ago this year in Cleveland. It was a trust of money that was set aside to help fight piracy on Lake Michigan, or Lake Erie, I guess. And when
who knew?
Yeah, and yeah. So when there was no longer piracy on the Great Lakes, they had this bulk of money that was still there but didn't really have a purpose.
So they succeeded?
Yes. Yeah, so they eradicated piracy on the Great Lakes. And so what they did in a traditional trust model way was to change that intent of those funds to other purposes, and that created the first community foundation. And ever since that model, you know, the real traditional model is kind of that trust-based financial transactional asset growth. And it's really been in the last 20 years that even that model has begun to really shift from just this pool of great philanthropists who want to do something, to really commit to one another and to causes in the communities, to ever thinking about how that impact is. Because, of course, there's dollar impact, but there's also, if you align donors together, there's even greater impact. And one last thing, that the community foundation model is really based on a value proposition, because we do this not just for asset growth, but really because there is a value that we share and that we commit to in our philanthropy.
Asset growth sounds to me like you're an investing company, which isn't what I'm sure you mean.
No, but in some cases, that's what we do. As you community foundations grow endowments, and it is those endowments, the interest and as those investments grow, those dollars are reinvested into the communities through other nonprofits, through impact investing, through all these other great ways to achieve impact in the community.
There's something that has always kind of nagged at me about that kind of a foundation model, which is, let's say you invest in fossil fuel companies and the fossil fuel companies have oil spills, and then you give money to environmental organizations working to clean up oil spills. are you making things better, or are you just perpetuating that?
That's the evolution of the Community Foundation, to really understand and to have that value proposition go not only in our grant making, but in our investing, in our cultivation, in our just every part of our business model has to be driven by this value proposition. And for us, that is an evolution that we have done over the last 10 years. Under Brian's leadership, lots of changes have been made towards that ends of really making sure that we align what we do and what we say with everything that is the public scene of the Community Foundation, as well as all of our inner workings, investments, our strategy, grant making. So to make that more transparent and to make it be more impactful, there are some investments in some community foundations throughout the United States that they vote their proxies, that they are activist shareholders and will vote their proxies, that they will cull their investment strategy, for instance, not to invest in anything that's coal or anything that's invested in maybe alcohol and gaming. So those are just examples throughout the United States that movement has really taken off in the last 10 and 15 years to really be aligned with who we want to be is really who we are.
So when you talk about values, what are the values of the Santa Fe Community Foundation?
So our board, right after Brian was hired in 2009 to 2010, we set out on a new strategy of our own governance of ourselves. And part of that was to articulate an end statement. The end statement really is our value proposition that we want to be known for. And for instance, part of our value proposition is that we have racial, cultural, and economic differences do not limit access to health, education, and employment in our region. That we have diverse audience enjoy the many arts and culture and heritage in our region. And that all sectors of our community take responsibility for ensuring a healthy environment. So that's kind of the big picture. And then what that value proposition does is then it affects how we employ strategies and how we deploy our resources to affect that end. And one of the unique parts of this governance policy, which is based on the Carver model, is really...
The Carver model?
The Carver, yeah.
What's the Carver model?
So that's policy governance. So that's
okay.
This kind of governance of a board. But what we do... we obviously have fiduciary responsibilities as board members to go in and check the financial statements and our grant making and all that. But we also have this value proposition where we have to align ourselves and our questioning of ourselves and what we do in the community to make sure it's in alignment with that ends. Because we don't want to move forward if it's really not something that we've said we're committed to doing. And that change has really helped us to be more activist board members. It's also helping us to really understand why it is that we do the things in the community we do. And it also helps us to recruit enthusiastic donors, because they can look at us. We've been transparent and say, this is who we want to be. Maybe we'll never, ever reach that, but every single day when we walk into that office and unlock the doors, this is what we're trying to achieve. And people see that, and they understand that transparency to try and make that happen on a day-to-day basis.
So what are the things that you actually do? Like, okay, money is invested, and then you take some of it and you spend it. What do you spend it on?
So we have a enormously diverse group of nonprofits in Santa Fe and our region, which is also, five other counties besides Santa Fe County, but we invest in a whole slew of education programs, of health and human services programs, of environmental programs, social justice and equity, and arts and culture. So those areas are things that we are cultivating and working with nonprofits all the time on.
Education and health and human services are traditionally what government does. And we live in a time that since I was, in college, there has been a long-term, decades-long anti-government movement that says basically government shouldn't do anything at all or should just do national defense and things like that, which means that essentially with health and human services and education, government isn't doing its job, and then philanthropy has to come in to do something that it just can't do because the numbers aren't there.
Right. So I have a little bit different take on it than that, because I see sometimes, and I'll just use this silly example, but you know, sometimes my view of the government is me walking in and wanting to buy a can of Dr. Pepper, but I have a $20 bill. Sometimes you need exact change in order to make something work. And in some cases, I don't think the government can get that exact fit in a quick enough time to really address a need.
What would be an example of that?
Well, I mean, think about, I mean, you said the education component. Because they're running facilities and all these incredible teachers and principals that are in the public schools doing all of this work, but there's this whole culture of this is a very large organization, and there's lots of facilities, there's lots of diversity because those schools are based in different communities, and that's where I think philanthropy has a unique position, because in many ways I see the Community Foundation as a bridge between the government, between the public schools, between the nonprofits, between philanthropists who say, because we occupy this space to have these conversations and say, what is it that we really do need? And how can we help achieve that? And in some cases, you get to a point where legislation has changed or policies are changed. But in other cases, it's just having conversations so people understand really what the needs are and how to address those. And that is a unique place that a community foundation has. And I think our impact as we think about 10 and 15 and 20 years down the road, that is the type of community foundation role that I don't think anyone else can share, because you have constituencies in the schools that have a really core set of values that they want to see, and of course it's their kids. Our kids are in public schools here in Santa Fe, but you still see the need.
This is abstract. Specifically, like, what is something that the Santa Fe Community Foundation has done in education that was like the exact change kind of metaphor?
So Birth to Career is a new initiative at the Santa Fe Community Foundation. It is a collaboration of the leaders to really take on this concept from birth all the way to career. How can we make this work? It has the Community Foundation. It has the Superintendent of Public Schools. Mary Gonzalez has recently been put on there. We also have the United Way here in Santa Fe County. And there's countless others, including other funders, who sit at the table and try and think about, first off, how are we going to measure our impact? What is it that we are going to measure? And then how do we collect that information? And then how do we deploy that into the decision makers in our community? That is that specific initiative, and it's just in its infancy now. But that is the type of scope that we need to look at, that starts not just at looking at dropouts, because we have a dropout prevention that we've just aligned with the public schools on, but thinking all the way from birth to career, how can we get this whole continuum worked through, and what can we do now to intervene so that 10 and 15 years from now we see these kind of results that we want to see in education and we want to see for our children?
We're talking to Jerry Jones, interim president and CEO of the Santa Fe Community Foundation. Anne-Marie McLaughlin, tell us about your work at the foundation.
I'm the HUB programming manager there, and HUB is actually not an acronym, as I am often asked. It's just a term for a gathering place. So gathering information and gathering people are sort of the two prongs there. And I, in particular, work with nonprofit capacity building. So I produce the training and presentations for our nonprofit staff and board members. That can look couple of different ways. It is often deeply driven by our attendees. So, for example, in May, Jerry here participated in a panel discussion about board work for nonprofit staff members here in the community. And we had a really engaging, great discussion with Emily Kaltenbach also, and Judy Nix, who facilitated, and Mike Mendez of SCORE. And a couple of the things that came out of it were people saying, well, this is really interesting, but obviously this is a fairly surface-level conversation. This is one panel discussion. We need to go deeper. We need deeper training around all of this. So how can we do that? So we're developing now some cohort programs for 2015. And that's just an example of the kind of information we take quite to heart and look at how we can actually help the community. Sometimes people come to us with ideas for things that, you know, something we can't jump on right now, but we'll put it in the hopper. So nonprofit capacity building is a big piece of it. We also do community learning for professional advisors in the community. That's a key group for us of people who work very closely with us on their philanthropy for their clients, learning about the community foundation model, learning about how they can help their clients hook into either funding through us, working with us, helping them essentially with their own professional development around working in community. So that's a very satisfying piece of our work. And the donor community, so fund holders who work closely with us and also the more general community, giving them a place to come together and learn about what's happening, about the education pieces Jerry was speaking about health in our community, any issues that are bubbling for people, really creating a place where people can come together and talk and ask questions and learn together. And we do make the building available to external groups as well, and it's actually been quite fascinating to have the experience of seeing people attend a meeting and run into someone else. So they say, oh, you know, I didn't know you were on this board, or I didn't know you were involved in this volunteer gig, and watching them get to know each other better and creating a place for particularly nonprofit staff members and professional advisors to network with one another. I certainly still think of us as a small town and tend to think we all know each other. And we do, but we don't always have a chance to actually chat around the water cooler, so to speak. And that has really been happening at Helena Street, which is very satisfying. You know, I've had people come back to me and say, I got my next contract out of someone you introduced me to. And then my little matchmaker heart is happy.
It's also an example of how our community foundation has really changed, because that was an investment that we made in our community. We purchased a building because we knew that there was a need in Santa Fe for nonprofits and community leaders and philanthropists to work together. And in just 3 years that we've owned the building, we've had, I think, something like almost 8,000 people come for hundreds upon hundreds of events in that building, whether it may be just two or three people with a facilitator to try and understand maybe how they can better serve their community, working with a financial advisor or an accountant to really work through maybe a financial issue in a nonprofit. This learning together of board members and educating all these really incredibly gifted volunteers towards maybe some best practices, whether it be managing your board or managing a board conversation, to strategic planning, and all of those are happening in this facility. And it's an investment, an impact investment, that the Santa Fe Community Foundation has made. And it, on the outside, it looks like a building. On the inside, it really is the home for philanthropy in Santa Fe. And just last week, there was probably 4 of the 5 days where there was at least 2, if not 3, different groups in conference rooms and classrooms, in boardrooms, having all of this learning and education and really trying to have impact for the community.
We're talking to Jerry Jones and Anne-Marie McLaughlin of the Santa Fe Community Foundation. Now, there was recently a news release that was, very interesting to all of the nonprofits in Santa Fe, of which, of course, we KSFR are one, and there's many, many others, hundreds of others, that basically that said that the Santa Fe Community Foundation and a number of other state community foundations were considering merging. What's going on?
So the actual consideration of merging is probably overstating it. What we have done in the last 4 and 5 years is really to build a coalition of community foundations in the state, which includes Santa Fe, the New Mexico Community Foundation here, which is also in Santa Fe, the Albuquerque Community Foundation, the Taos Community Foundation, and the Community Foundation of Southern New Mexico. And that coalition of community foundations has been on a path of really how to collaborate better together. What happened just recently is a unique outcrop of that, which is the Give Grande New Mexico, which happened at the beginning of May, where the community foundations went out to the local nonprofits and said, "You, for 24 hours, we want to assist you in doing a fundraising effort to attract donors to specific nonprofits in every region of the state." That 24-hour project of all these collaborations resulted in about 8,000 donations to the tune of almost $850,000 to hundreds upon hundreds of nonprofits in the state of New Mexico. That collaborative effort is astonishing to think, in a competitive environment, which is kind of how we've been, what can happen together. So this coalition of community foundations have had conversations about what might this look like. So of course the merger word has connotations that are typically in for private business, where you come in, there's an acquisition, merger, you lay off people. That's not what this is. This is really what we are trying to do in the next 6 months, is to begin a process to really explore how we can work better together. Who we are individually, because we focus our attention on the Santa Fe Community Foundation, but who is Albuquerque? Who is New Mexico? Who are their communities? What are the challenges that they're dealing with? What are the, in some cases, the nonprofits that they're serving? And how can we potentially work closer together? Now, could it include a potential restructuring of the business model where all of us really are formally in some sort of legal entity? It potentially could be that. But we've been very, very cautious to say this is an exploration, education, and we've had great meetings already to just begin the discussions and really to formalize how it is that this might work.
How are these different community foundations similar? Well, I think we have sort of figured out how they're similar because they all operate on that community foundation model, but how are they different? How are they serving their communities differently?
I think in so many ways there is overlap because we do share the same community foundation structure. But that is part of the reason we're going through this, is because Albuquerque has it, you know, community foundations as a whole are geographically located. That's kind of the model was created for a geography. And so Albuquerque, of course, has very similar issues with their education and health and human service, just like Las Cruces and Taos and us in Santa Fe. And of course, New Mexico is in does programming in all 33 counties in the state. So what we're really trying to do is figure out how we are similar, how we are different, and then to really explore not who we are just today, but to really be thinking through this education process as what should we be, what can we be, so that we have greater impact for everything that we do, whether it be in a nonprofit for education or in health and human services, the environment, how can we do this better?
Talk more about your focus on the environment, because of course that is a very major part of a lot of people's consciousness in northern New Mexico, and the questions about fracking, questions about our river, questions about environmental regulation, right, about mining and things like that.
Well, the way the Community Foundation is set up is to have these grant processes run. Santa Fe is unique because we run two grant processes every year. But we have one that's dedicated to the environment. And it is, again, in the six counties we serve. It's just not Santa Fe, but it's Rio Arriba and Mora and others. What we try to do is look at the nonprofits that are working in those arenas, whether it be for the mining or rivers or the acequias. All of those, there's nonprofits that are doing all of this really deep work in the communities. And when they come to us, what they are trying to do is find a funding partner that's going to help them move the needle in some way to help restore the acequias or to make sure that we have the proper understanding of conservation within the government. Because, you know, as politicians come and go, that can change. So advocacy on behalf of these rural communities and how it impacts the environment, how that impacts our health and our economic opportunities.
Adding on to that, we have a specific endowment for environment. It's quite small. Typically, that grant cycle each year kicks off about $30,000 in grant money. So our grant committee makes decisions, you know, it's pretty traditional. Groups apply, and then a decision is made about who will receive funding. That's not a lot of money looking at environmental issues in our region. But another program was put together a couple of years ago called Upstream, which was specifically designed for existing collaboratives, so nonprofits who are already working together in some arena at a policy level. And so the Santa Fe Community Foundation worked with McCune Charitable Foundation to provide some funding and technical support for groups working together. One of them is the Santa Fe Food Policy Council. The other is Communities for Clean Water, which is a group of nonprofits already working together on the Rio Grande corridor. And so we're still not giving them a lot of money. We don't have a huge pot of money to give them, but have been able to work with them over the course of about 18 months to build their infrastructure. They have a consultant working with them directly to help strengthen their work. They did a needs assessment piece, and then they're getting training and support in their policy advocacy work. So that's the kind of place where we can take a fairly small bit of money and potentially help groups working in that area already deepen their work.
The other thing that I might add is just that the Community Foundation has a huge resource of philanthropists that care about the environment. When we go through our community grants process, we also go back to our donors and say, here are the projects that we are going to fund. We're going to give a grant to these nonprofits. But we also produce a catalog that says, would you like to partner with us and join us in that effort to fund these programs? So what you do is you go out and you meet, you find a need, you understand the need. We put our resources and we go and communicate this to our donors so that they can partner. And in just the last couple of years, our grant making has gone from, in 2011, $2.4 million back into our communities, almost $5 million last year in 2013. And a lot of that was because of this giving together through other philanthropists partnering with our grant making to really satisfy this incredible need in our region.
Jerry Jones is interim president and CEO of the Santa Fe Community Foundation. Anne-Marie McLaughlin is hub programming manager there. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.